Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer here to break down an historic victory for the UNLV Rebels last Saturday at home against Idaho State, a Division I AA opponent, something that UNLV has struggled with in recent years, and there was absolutely no struggle Saturday night. 80-8, no typos, you're not hearing me wrong, 80-0, 11 touchdowns and a field goal, 80-8 for the Rebels, who set new program records for points in a quarter with 35, points in a half with 52, points in a game with 80, margin of victory at 72. They were 6 yards shy of tying the single game rushing record. They finished with 517. There's a few other kind of things around there. It's the most points scored by a Mountain West team since the Mountain West started in 1999. Ray, just as you saw the score kind of start to get out of hand and what it ended up being and all of the different records that came down, just what's kind of the first thing you thought of? I got to think you were as shocked as I was sitting there in the press box.
Yeah, and I think the fact that in past seasons, Taylor, in case that UNLV had struggled, remember Northern Colorado, they beat by 1 point last year. And in Idaho State, was comparable to Northern Colorado. Not a powerhouse at that level, but certainly respectable. And they played Boise, and Boise only beat them, was it?
Well, they beat them 52-0.
52-0. It could have been worse, obviously.
They handed it to them.
But I think everybody believes UNLV is about 3 touchdowns worse than Boise. And so they were looking for UNLV to win by 4 or 5 touchdowns. At least I was. And then for them to be up by 5 touchdowns before I basically got
at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, before everybody settled in was a surprise. And it's just tough. And I said going in, you're not going to learn much about the Rebels against Idaho State, just like you didn't learn much against, you know, UCLA or Michigan, just because it was so unbalanced. And, you know, I think it was great to give them confidence going into this week's game at Reno. And, you know, it just shows what potential UNLV has, because – I don't know if they would have so handedly had beaten a team like that previously.
Yeah,
and that's not a knock against whomever, but you did lose to Southern Utah and Northern Arizona, and you barely beat
Northern Colorado.
Exactly.
Yeah. And did you learn something from about UNLV this weekend, Case?
I think so. I'm blown away with this performance. I'm very impressed. I think 3 or 4 touchdowns is going a little too far for expectations. I think when it's not till Saturday when the market stabilizes and people start putting numbers out on this one. I'm pretty sure UNLV closed 14-point favorite and didn't really move much during the day. So, I mean, you had an expectation of only 14 points. You win by 72. And this is something that if you read the betting coverage we have on LasVegasSun.com for football that I write about all the time, that I feel like a lot of people overlook, is just blowing out bad teams is actually a better indicator of future success and kind of tells where you are more than just winning a close game of a touchdown or less against a better team. And I agree with Brewer. The first thing I thought of is you just look back to the last 3 years when UNLV plays opponents like this and almost always struggles, loses half the time. I mean, turning it into almost losing or winning by a point into an 80-8 victory, I know I'm not trying to get carried away because it's an FCS team, but I just think this shows the program's grown a lot to me. I mean, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I don't know how much you saw about this. There was some confusion about the line the morning of on Saturday, because what I thought initially was just a screw-up in the feed on Vegas Insider. Someone told me that it was a screw-up in the book, and what was supposed to be posted as a 13 was briefly posted as like 3.5.
I mean, this happens a lot with the FCS games because there's so many weird offshore sites. There can be like one rogue offshore site that basically takes no money.
Yeah.
And they post it as like 3.5. And then since it's the only book in the world with a line on it, then Vegas Insider, it'll post as like the consensus, when this is like some guy probably booking bets in a basement in Costa Rica who put it at 3.5.
And that's what I thought it was, because I've, you know, dealt with that before. But up in the press box, it was, I know it was Canner's line in Vegas Insider that showed the, like, the 3 or 3.5.
Oh, okay, so I didn't see that part.
But I've had Canner lines screw up on there before. So I still thought it was a screw up in the system. Some are saying that it was a screw up actually at the book, and that bets were placed on UNLV minus 3.5. Now, I have not seen any of those tickets, so I'm still skeptical. But that wouldn't be the first time, right, that, you know, something by entered by hand is screwed up, and if you take a bet on it, it's in. It's just accepted, right?
Usually if that happens, though, it'll be like one bet, and they'd be like, wow, we should have fixed this. I mean, I'd say the most trustworthy for the FCS lines are the Westgate's usually like the first to post them Saturday morning, and I'm pretty sure I looked Saturday morning just because I always look at the lines when they go off, and it was either 13.5 or 14 at the Westgate right when it first went up, and I think it closed about then. So, I mean, they just blew away their expectation, and I am impressed by this. I don't care that it's Idaho State. 80-8 says something to me.
I think for me, the stat where they rushed for more than 500 yards, you know Tony Sanchez's offense, and I've watched him for, you know, the previous 6 years when he was at Gorman, he really sets up everything with the run. You know, get some good yardage running the ball, open some things up for the passing game. And, you know, I go back to his initial few seasons at Gorman. He had Anu Solomon, who's now at Arizona, but he was at one point a freshman quarterback, and the offense was real simple. And Gorman had to, you know, control the clock, you know, get some first downs running the ball, and then give him some passes that he could complete. And you could kind of look at it, you know, this year with, you know, Blake Decker, who's had some turnover problems, an offensive line which has some players who, you know, we've all questioned on this show. So for them to get that mentality where they're rushing for 400 yards and they're establishing the run after being held to, I think it was 93 yards the previous week at Michigan, you know, I think that just kind of sets the table, and it shows the players that, hey, let's follow the script a little bit and see what happens. And again, from a confidence standpoint, UNLV has to be feeling good about itself, but so does Nevada, right?
Did you just call them
Nevada? Yeah, I did.
What?
I'm on a new era.
Wow. I'm so confused.
Yeah. They beat Buffalo.
Yeah,
right?
went to Buffalo and won 24-21.
They still haven't got back yet. It's Monday, I'm sure. But
Greyhound busing it.
I was rather surprised by that win.
Yeah, that was a pick'em game. I think it closed at. Just back to UNLV for a quick second. The freshman running backs, Xavier Campbell and Lexington Thomas, both went for over 100 yards. I know there was at least one notable, I think, either current member or former member of the media who was posting on Twitter during the game that it was really classless of Sanchez to run up the score. That person is an idiot and obviously wasn't watching the game, and anyone who thinks they were running up the score was not watching the game. They threw the ball 15 times, and if the defense isn't going to tackle or get even remotely close to ball carriers at the line of scrimmage, then you get what you have coming to you. And when you have, you know, a defensive touchdown, you know, Troy Hawthorne had a pick six, and there are a few other just kind of big defensive plays. Idaho State's punting game a couple times was awful. It got out of hand for them quickly, and Sanchez after the game said he didn't really want it to get that bad. You know, that's not like the goal necessarily, but I'm sure fans enjoyed it. I saw a lot of happy faces in the stands, and more power to you. The Rebel fans have been on the wrong side of a lot of these games. I'm not going to fault anybody for enjoying this one, especially when there was no running up the score there. But as you said, Ray, it is important to look ahead. This is the week, the biggest week of the year in state rivalry. Heading up to Reno Saturday, 4 p.m. Don't look for it on your TV because it won't be there. Streaming online, Mountain West Network via Campus Insiders. And so the good news for those of you who tried to watch the UNLV Idaho State stream, and I say try because I know in the third quarter for a long time the stream was completely down. That one was run by UNLV. This one will be run by Campus Insiders. And their streams, while not great, because it's still just a stream of a game, generally better. They bring in the trucks and all this. It's not one where the school has to try and throw together what it can. So at least that's the bright side of it. But the fact that this game isn't on TV, I think many people are going to have a problem with. Just Ray, your reaction to that?
I mean, for me, being a native and knowing the importance of the rivalry to a lot of people like myself who are, you know, in their 30s, grew up hating Reno or grew up hating Las Vegas in UNLV, this is an important week for us. We want to watch the game. You know, it's the old adage, right? So you grew up as a kid here, and run Rebel basketball is awesome. We can't wait for basketball season. Football rarely is on our radar. You know, maybe the first game when...
He's so excited for the game.
No, the first game when college football is, like, kicking off, But then usually more times than not, UNLV's bad, and you only get interested again for the Reno game. You want to go, you want to watch, you want to talk trash to your buddies who went to that school or whatever it may be, and just to, you know, have to do so much legwork to listen to the game or to watch the game. Or, I mean, this game should be on some kind of network. You know, it's played at the beginning of the league season, which we've talked about already, Black Eye. You can't find it on TV. And this isn't the first time it hasn't been on TV.
Yeah.
And just for me, it's like, if I'm UNLV, I'm raising holy hell. I mean, you got to service your fan base. And I know they're hamstrung by the league, but if I'm UNLV, I'm on the phone. I'm trying to get this, you know, maybe an affiliate in like NBC Vegas could, you know, have a crew. Somehow you got to be able to get the game on.
Well, I think that's on Reno, though. There's no – it's expensive enough, and we already see that local stations don't try and put together broad – you know, no one was trying to broadcast last weekend's Idaho State game, and that's in town. Now, I understand this is, you know, a different type of game, but they're not going to send trucks from Vegas up to Reno for this. I just don't see any way that they would do that. You know, I'm disappointed for fans who would want to watch the game. I think it, you know, just kind of shows the stature of the league and the stature of the rivalry to a lot of outside folks. But that's not going to change what this year's version can be on the field. And that's, you know, even I already kind of expected it to be an entertaining one. And based on the spread and the movement that we've seen so far, you know, the books think that this can be a pretty close game. It had been, what do we think? Over the summer, it was 13.5. For Reno, and then the look-ahead line last week, Case, was what?
10.5, and then I had just looked while you were talking, and the Win is usually the first to post college lines on Sunday night, and they posted UNR at 10, so just minus the hook, and now here we are less than 24 hours later, and UNLV's down to 7. So, I mean, it's not just the books. The market obviously thinks UNLV's undervalued right now. They're 3-1 against the spread. That one against the spread loss was to one of the best teams in the nation, and they came close to covering without their starting quarterback. Yep. So obviously there's some guys with money backing UNLV too. I mean, I know the Win will move really quick based on limit bets, but I think they take a limit of 2,000 on Sunday nights. It looks like UNLV probably got a few of those on Sunday night.
And the one thing is that I think outsiders are starting to realize through the small sample size is that the Rebels have been prepared every game. You know, there hasn't been a time where, like in the past, we've seen the defense and we're like, oh my God, this guy has way, there's nobody covering this guy. Or I think that through four games, we've seen a team that's gone out there and known what's expected of them. They've been in the right place. They've had maximum effort. They're motivated. And I know that obviously a rivalry game, you're going to bring your A-plus stuff. And the games have been close in the last 3 years. You know, and I'll say it again, I'm not a big Brian Polian game day guy. He does nothing for me. And I think that as Chris Ault's players, I think, are all out of the program now or pretty close. There's maybe
getting there. I'm sure there's – because this is only Polian's third year.
Yeah. But it's more his guys than Ault's guys. And, you know, they haven't been coached up the same. And I just think that – I mean, I'm sorry. I think UNLV wins this game running away.
I don't know why you're apologizing.
Running
for that.
Away? I think that's a big statement.
I know. No, I just think that I think UNLV is the better team. The only thing that told me back is that Buffalo win. That impressed the hell out of me. To go that far and play that early and to win a game. And I mean, Buffalo's nothing. They're not that good this year, but it's still 90 time zones the other way.
I actually had Reno in that game's the line moved to 3 right before kickoff, and I'm not high on Buffalo.
Wait,
their metrics aren't
very
good. Yeah, so I had Reno plus 3, and I will say I was impressed by their win in the East Coast and everything, but there was some fortune in that game. I mean, Buffalo was moving the ball up and down, and I think had 3 or 4. Reno was either plus 3 or plus 4 in turnover margin, and still only won by 3. If you were looking for reasons to be down on Reno, like I know you were, like it's a good win. I'm not taking anything away from them, but they had some good fortune in that game for sure.
And their offense, at least in the first half that I saw, was basically two huge running plays right up the gut that Buffalo just completely botched. and they scored off one of them was like a 30-yard touchdown, I think, and the other was a close to 80-yard run that set up a touchdown. So they had just kind of a couple huge plays that swung it for them, and they were able to hold on. I'm with Ray. Credit to Reno for going that far and getting the win. I didn't realize that the line shifted that much right before kickoff. I know in my Mountain West picks, which were awful this week, I had that as a pick 'em as a Friday, so I didn't realize that it moved there. Do you still, Ray, like a big part of your handicapping for this game has been Reno's travel, because they were at A&M 2 weeks ago, at Buffalo last week. Do you still feel like that's going to be a factor here? The line now kind of moving the way, you know, your side, but of course that means now there's a little less value on UNLV.
Yeah, and I think a lot of gamblers reacted, because that's what they do, to UNLV putting up 80 points and looking so good, regardless of who the opponent is. But, you know, Reno went to A&M and they only lost by, what, 18? It was 38-20, I think.
I think it was 22. I think it was 40-something to 20.
Okay, but they weren't, you know, embarrassed. Same token, UNLV goes to Michigan and I thought played great D, were engaged the entire game, and then BYU went to Michigan last week and got handled. And now, listen, BYU's quarterback is really showing his true colors. Kid was on a Mormon mission until like 3 months ago, and he was like 8 of 16 passing. So I don't know what a good gauge that is, but, you know, BYU should have beat UCLA, arguably, right, 2 weeks ago at UCLA. And UCLA, everybody's in love with, thinks they're going to be in the
I'm not going to do this transitive.
You can't do all
thing.
This math either, because then you could say, well, UCLA absolutely blew out Arizona, who beat Reno pretty handedly. So we can go any direction we want with this.
Well, yeah, but Arizona lost its quarterback to a concussion.
When they were down 28-7 already.
Yeah. I don't want to do, like Taylor said, Black Hill State he put on Twitter the other
day. Yeah, that's to say, I don't like playing that game, but it does make you kind of look at what that Division II team is when they lost 55-0 to Idaho State, which then went on and lost 52-0 to Boise and 80-8 at UNLV.
I just have such a headache right now.
I know. How many different ways? If we do this long enough, we can make Idaho State a contender for the college football playoff just based on close losses to the teams that they already lost to. Yeah.
You know, bottom line is that I think, fortunately for us football fans and me, a UNLV grad and a Las Vegas local, we're going to get a good close game, because there was years, you know, Reno's won 9 of the last 10 Fremont Canyon games. And there were years in that rivalry when, you know, Kaepernick looked like, you know, Hercules against UNLV. He had no chance to be tackled. And, you know, reserve running backs, Mike Ball from Desert Pines, went for 200-plus yards. And whatever, your boy Caleb or Khalib Herring.
Why is this a question? It's Caleb. C-A-L-E-B.
Khalib.
It's the most simple
name.
Remember
when he was like the week after throwing 2 pick sixes against Southern Utah in the Get Ready for Reno game, he was like 1 of 9 for 2 yards or something against Reno?
Yeah.
Where UNLV had, like, no chance, and we'd sit in here on the Rebel Room, and you guys would pepper me and jab at me and rib me, and I would be like, oh, no, the Rebels rivalry game, they're going to put up a fight. And deep inside, I'm like, oh, my God, if this kid whose name I can't pronounce is going to be the quarterback, we have no chance to win.
Caleb.
Now you're like, why can't you pronounce Caleb? I don't get that
now
one.
Now I'm like, Eric Nunes is starting tackle. We're going to win.
Yeah, you've...
Shots fired. I am going to jab and pick at you one more time. Just a second ago, you say UNLV is going to run away with it. Now you're guaranteeing a close game. You're going to have to pick one or the other, because running away with it's not a close game.
I think they're going to win. I think they're evenly matched is probably what I should have said instead of a close game.
Okay, gotcha.
I think they're evenly matched, and I really think I think they're just going to go up there, man. I think it's going to be like...
I also think that they're going to go up there for the game.
Yeah, they're definitely going to make it to... Mac
they will get on that flight.
Yes. I think Tony's got a few tricks up his sleeves, and I think Polian
doesn't.
I think that his trick is just getting – I mean, I don't want to rip them, because they were serviceable against A&M, who has a lot of young players, and they went to a crappy Buffalo team, and they forced a bunch of turnovers. But, again, they went 4 time zones over, and – or 3 or 8 or whatever.
So I'm pretty sure we don't have 4 on the mainland.
Yeah, Mountain, Central.
Yeah, but you traveled three.
Well, you know what I mean.
You're one, two. You're already in one.
You guys know what I mean. You guys read a clock with the best of them. But this is a fun week. Listen, for me, John Robinson was a legend as a UNLV coach. He never lost in the Canton game. You know, Tony Sanchez has visions of making UNLV football relevant in Las Vegas. He's trying to sell locals on having this be our team. And the best way to do that is to beat Reno. Because for a lot of people, this is the only game that matters. Because you know what? UNLV basketball is around the corner.
Yes, speaking of, just quickly, they did pick up two commitments in the class of 2016. I didn't want to do too much basketball on this one, give football its kind of last Rebel Room podcast all to itself, because I'm sure they're very concerned with that. But it was a Finley Prep kid, Carlos Johnson, and he followed Christian, I think it's Vital. I'm going to have to figure out how to pronounce his last name, V-I-T-A-L, who had committed earlier in the week.
Thank God his first name's not Khalib.
Yeah, Christian. You'll find a way to screw that one up, though.
Yeah. Is it Chris? Is it?
Vital's from out east. He's playing his last year of high school ball in Connecticut. Carlos Johnson is playing his first year at Finley Prep this season. Previously was in California at a high school near Berkeley. Both guards, you know, kind of the not the top of the line guys that they've been getting, but good filling out the roster. You know, you see if you can actually keep them in the program for their entire time. But just good commits there. They're currently over on scholarships for the class of 2016, but they're going to figure that out because there's obviously going to be more than just the two seniors leaving. Zim is, you know, pegged as a one and done, and then you're going to have one or two transfers on top of that. So they're still out recruiting also for class of 2016, but those two guys did commit in the last week. Just looking at this game here, battle for the Fremont Cannon. It has been close recently. What was the score last year? It wasn't very close last year.
It was close for a half, I think, right?
Yeah,
it
but 2 years ago, or sorry, 3 years ago, it was UNLV with a great first half, and then everything collapsed at home in the second half. And then 2 years ago, they win the Cannon for the first time in a long time. And then last year, it was back here.
49-27.
Yeah,
loss.
Last game of the year, last game of Bobby Houck's tenure. It wasn't – I don't ever remember feeling like UNLV was in that game, but that could be wrong. Maybe it was still – although that's just kind of the story of last year's team. Like, sometimes the score was close, but most of the time you never actually felt like they were in it. But this one, I had been saying before the year that I was going to give UNLV one game that they go win as a double-digit – underdog, and I was looking mostly at Reno and Fresno State. They're not going to be double-digit underdogs at probably either of those places. We already know, and you know, unless the line here for Reno swings back up, it's already down to 7, and Fresno State is just awful. So that game in 3 weeks, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that one. But I will stick with my preseason prediction that UNLV is not going to win this game, but I need to spend some more time throughout the week to see if I think that they can cover or not.
Can I ask you a dumb question? And I think I know your answer, but I'm going to ask it.
All right.
Is there an outside indirect chance that UNLV could somehow muster its way to bowl eligibility?
I say no.
But at least you thought about it.
Well, I mean, the league's terrible. So, yes, they could end up – I would not be shocked if UNLV is better than Wyoming – Fresno State, and then maybe of, you know, the teams on their schedule, maybe
Hawaii,
Reno or Hawaii, you know, something like that. But I don't think I still just can't believe that in year one they can go out and win all the games that they're supposed to.
Yeah, and I actually watched part of the San Jose State Fresno game, and San Jose State actually runs the ball pretty good.
Well, yeah, they're back, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but he had 300 yards against Fresno State.
A record for that university. But, again, Fresno's awful.
Yeah, I think UNLV's better than Fresno right now. I told you coming into the year I thought San Jose State was going to be improved. They disappointed me in the out-of-conference, but obviously took care of business against Fresno.
I think that's a team that once they get into Mountain West play is going to look a lot better.
Yeah, so I still think bowl eligibility is definitely a stretch. But, I mean, yeah, this conference is really bad. And I said they would beat Fresno State. I said that was the one that maybe they could go over, probably. And now I'm worried about that game, as they probably should beat them. I mean, that team's bad.
Yeah. My preseason, I'm so far 4-0 on my straight-up picks from preseason, as everyone in the world should be.
Yes.
It's pretty easy to pick 0-3 and then get an Idaho State win. But then I gave them wins at home against San Jose State and at Fresno. I still feel good about that Fresno one. And then you feel a lot better about the chance to at home compete or maybe win against San Diego State or going to Wyoming. So they're going to have a chance to be kind of the 3 or 4. I'm sticking with my preseason prediction of 3 until that's proven just wrong. But they look, they're going to have a chance at 4, which means maybe they get a chance at 5. I still think 500 is out of the picture.
Yeah, this is not how it works. Like, obviously, I'm locked in on the under, but if I could switch it right now, I think they would go over 2.5. Just,
yeah.
I mean, the conference is terrible.
And the league championship game would be UNLV at Boise?
Yes, unless UNLV was able to leapfrog them in the BCS or in the playoff standings, yes.
Okay, all right.
Just gonna clear out your schedule for that one.
That's gonna be a long weekend, but we'll make it happen.
So what are you going with, Ray? A close game or a runaway victory for UNLV?
Double digits, Rebels. Tony Sanchez rides the cannon back to Vegas.
There you go. What more do you need from the Rebel Room? That is Ray Brewer with the proclamation. We'll see if it can come true this weekend at Reno. Ray and I will be up there with full coverage for Case, for Ray. I am Taylor, and we'll talk to you guys next week.